you know, we've been doing a series on the names and titles of Jesus, and we come to another one of those names and titles this morning. And I ask you to turn in your Bibles to three different passages: Isaiah chapter 28, Ephesians chapter 2, and Luke chapter 6. We'll be exploring those three passages: Isaiah 28, Ephesians 2, and Luke chapter 6. Do you know where you were on October 11th, 1992, at about 3 in the afternoon? How many of you remember where you were? I don't know what day of the week it was. Anybody remember? If you were living in Cairo on that day, you will not forget it, because that's when the great Cairo earthquake took place. And that's when everything began to shake, rattle, and roll. And it wasn't a rock concert. It was a very disruptive time in this land, in this city. I'll never forget the feeling of having everything that was supposed to be stable all of a sudden become unstable. It began to shake. We were having a committee meeting up here on the third floor, or the second floor rather, and I remember there was this howling noise that seemed to come through, and then everything just started to move. I'd never been in an earthquake before, and it was the weirdest feeling to have the earth move. And we took off out of there and made our way out of the building into the courtyard here, and then just watched and kind of looked up as things, you could just see things swaying for a while. My daughter was over at Cairo American College, and our apartment is just kind of across the road from there, and they ran out the building, and she says she watched as our building kind of swayed like this, and the fear that rolled through her mind at that moment was quite intense. Many people lost their lives as buildings collapsed. Our apartments had cracks in every room. Amazingly, though, some buildings came through that earthquake without any damage at all. I remember visiting after that, and we'd go to homes, and everybody was saying, "See, here's what happened to our place, and here's the cracks." And I remember going to a few places, though, and there were no marks. And I said, "What happened?" "I don't know. Nothing happened in this place." And we'd go up, there were no marks. And I started to think, what is it that in a shakedown like that causes some buildings to crumble and others to stand strong and secure? Well, I'm not much of an engineer, but people who are tell me that almost everything has to do with the quality of the foundation. If there's a quality foundation, buildings can survive even intensive earthquakes and great storms. It's kind of like life, isn't it? You ever notice it's just like life? Life has a way of shaking every one of us sooner or later down to our basics. Sometimes the rattling is just minor and irritating. Sometimes it's so hard you feel like your whole life is going to fall apart. Some people do fall apart. Actually, many people fall apart. That's one of the reasons why the helping professions today are having a booming business. Counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists and pastors and priests and rabbis and imams and anybody who's in the people helping business has record numbers of people coming to seek guidance today. Self-help books line the bookshelves in the bookstores, and they make authors rich today, many of them. Many people who can't afford the book or the appointment just seem to self-destruct in silence. Many people who can afford the books and who do make the appointments, well, quite frankly, they many times fall apart as well. But I've got good news for you this morning. God has provided the blueprints for a building that will withstand the most violent earthquake, the most wicked storm, the most raging flood, and the most intense battle. And He invites you and me today into that building. Well, actually, He invites us to be part of it. I'd like you to examine with me these plans that God has given us in His Word. And we're going to look at the basement and the benefits and the building strategy. But before we do, why don't we ask the Lord to speak to us through His Word. Father, we thank You that although earthquakes happen, not just on this earth, although they happen in lives, we thank You that because of who You are and what You have provided, we can come through those earthquakes stable, solid, and secure. We ask, Lord Jesus, that as we examine that truth this morning, that You would reveal Yourself in a brand new, fresh way to each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're going to build a building, Although I don't know much about construction, I can guarantee you one thing. You have to start at the bottom. You can't start by putting the shingles on. You can't start by installing the windows, no matter how nice they are. You've got to start with the basement. You've got to start with the foundation, because that's where all buildings begin. And the quality of the foundation determines how high you can build, and it determines how secure that building will be. Now, there were many pretty buildings in Cairo that collapsed during that earthquake in 1992. They looked wonderful on the outside. But when it comes to the severe shaking that life brings to us, it really doesn't matter whether you just painted the windows or the shutters. It really doesn't matter how pretty that thing looks. What's most important is how secure is the foundation. Have you ever asked yourself, what are you building your life on? Have you ever asked yourself that? You see, sometimes we get so busy just with living. You know, teenagers are just in to have a happy time, and adults are in to build our security and build that nest egg for the future, or the college education fund for the kids, or we just get on with stuff so much and we don't stop long enough to say, hey, what's it all about? What am I building my life on? What's the bedrock foundation for everything I do? You see, sometimes we have gotten so busy at making a living that we've forgotten to make a life. We've forgotten what life is all about. A billionaire in Dallas, Texas, that's right, a billionaire in Dallas, Texas, went to Howard Hendricks one time and admitted that although he had every single thing the world could offer him, his life was falling apart. He'd been through 4 marriages, he had 4 kids, all totally messed up in one way or another, and he was wondering what life was all about. And he said to Howard Hendricks these words, and I'll never forget them. He said, Howard, he said, I spent my whole life climbing the ladder of success. And when I finally got to the top, I realized it was leaning against the wrong wall. There is a man who, at the end of his days, having amassed everything the world could provide, said, I built on the wrong foundation. I've got the wrong building. And it's going to collapse. It's coming down. It's shaking all around me and falling apart. Dear friends, what are you building your life on this morning? Some of you are building your life on education. You've committed yourself to polish that cranium and all that's in it, and I commend you. God has given you a brain, and you need to use it. But dear friends, that's not the foundation for life. Some of you have committed yourself to amassing the biggest portfolio you can find. And if God has given you those abilities, great, go for it. But dear friends, that's not what life is built on. Some of you have built your life on religion. That's right. You've committed yourself to following the ultimate letter, to making sure you fit exactly how God wants you to live, to follow the letter of the law to a T, and you get mad at others who aren't like you. Dear friends, religion may be okay for you, but it's not a healthy foundation. I don't know what your foundation is this morning, but if it's anything other than the foundation we're going to look at, when the earthquake comes, your building's going to crumble. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, we read these words. This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, and a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. Do you hear that? I'm laying a stone down that whoever builds on that, it is so rock solid that no matter what comes, no matter how the earth shakes, no matter what wind blows, that person will never be dismayed. Never. Never be shaken, never crumble, never fall apart. That's good news. That's fantastic news. How many of you would like a foundation like that in your life? Yeah. Well, let's find out what that precious cornerstone is, or rather, who that precious cornerstone is. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, you read these words in verse 19 to 22. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, You too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. In these passages, we find another one of the many titles or names that are given to Jesus in the Scripture. He is called the cornerstone, or the chief cornerstone. And the imagery here is obvious. You don't have to be a mechanical engineer or a building constructor to understand this one. We know that every building requires a foundation. In that day, they didn't pour concrete, they laid stones, and the keystone to the whole building was the large cornerstone which anchored its design, anchored its structure. The cornerstone was the key part to the entire building. And that imagery is that Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. He is the essential to the structure of the building. He is the only true and lasting foundation for life. You see, when our lives are built upon this rock, the Bible says, our lives are absolutely secure. Absolutely. You know, I've become more and more convinced the older I get and the more I've dealt with people and talked to them about all kinds of issues. I'm convinced that the number one human problem is a deep insecurity. You may say, Pastor, that doesn't sound very scriptural. Doesn't the Bible say that love of money is the root of all evil? That that's the number one? Yeah, it is. But I want you to probe that with me for a minute. If the love of money is the root of all evil, which it is, why is the love of money the root of all evil? Why do you love money, and why do I love money? Why is money such a problem for us? Why does it trip us up? Why does it get us in trouble with our neighbors? Why does it get us in trouble with the law? Why does it cause us to shortchange God and not honor Him with our tithes and offerings? Why does it cause us to get into all kinds of financial trouble? Why is it such a problem with us? Why? You know why? Because undergirding the love of money is a deep-rooted insecurity. We are insecure. Since we've been parted from God, our lives have become insecure. He is the source of security. And because our lives are cut off from Him, deep down within our spirit, we feel and we sense that alienation. We sense that insecurity. And so we try and grab something else that will give it to us. And we think that's money. We think that's possessions. We think it's all that money can buy. But the root is the insecurity that prompts it. Why do we fight each other? Think of it. The last altercation you had verbally with your wife or with your children or with your husband or with the neighbors or with your employees or your boss, what was at the root of it? Why were you fighting? You know why? Insecurity. They were doing something that could threaten your position, could threaten your image, could threaten or whatever, your decision. Insecurity. It's at the root of our hassle with each other. Why are we insecure? As I said, because we've left the only ultimate source of security there is. But when our lives are built upon Jesus, the absolute bedrock, cornerstone of life, our lives become rock solid secure. Good morning. Do you hear that? They become rock solid secure. Let me give you an illustration. If you had $1 billion in the bank this morning, not a million, a billion. If you had $1 billion in the bank, first of all, you would not be able to spend it all. You couldn't. You could go out and buy everything you wanted, and the interest on that money would keep putting more cash in your pocket than you could spend. Okay? That's how much money $1 billion is. If you had that amount of money in your wallet, or in your bank account, and this morning, somehow, during the course of this event, you misplaced 100 LE, and you didn't know where it went. Did it slip out of your pocket? Did somebody take it? Did you leave it? How many of you would spend the rest of the afternoon all churned up inside over the loss of 100 LE? How many of you would start accusing your people sitting around you that they took it? How many of you would enter into fights over where this money went? How many of you would agonize throughout the day, torn up inside over the insecurity that faces your life? Anybody? No. Why? Because it doesn't come near touching the source of your security. Do you see the illustration? When we're secure, we are free to let things go. We are free to let people take from us if necessary. We are free to enter into situations that may look awful, but it doesn't bother us. Now, if you had 100 LE and it was the only 100 LE that you had to your name, if that's everything you had in life, and you came here this morning and it was gone, how many of you would be churned up this afternoon wondering where the 100 LE went? How many of you would start to wonder who pickpocketed you or who slid in beside you and tricked you? How many of you might think some of those thoughts? Yeah, because it's our source of security. You see the point I'm trying to make here? When we have left the source, the only source of security we have in life, God Himself, we end up reaching for anything and everything else that will give it to us, but it won't give it to us. It's not until we come back again and build our lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, until we are connected to Him again, that's when we get the security our hearts long for. That's when we start to receive all the benefits that flow out of that security. Speaking of the benefits, look at Ephesians chapter 2. There Paul outlines the two major security benefits of having our life built upon Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. He says in that passage, we have peace with God and we have peace with each other. Now that's a quick summary, but each of those requires, we could preach for 2 months on each of those. Listen to verses 14 through 18. You can follow if you want in your Bible, but I'm going to read from the contemporary English version of the Bible. Christ has made peace between Jews and Gentiles. Now don't read over that too quickly. If we were to translate that today, you know what that would be? Christ has made peace between the Jews and the Palestinians. And you may say, oh, okay, now I see it. It's that impossible? Christ has made peace between the Tutsis and the Hutus. Oh, that's what you mean? Christ has made peace between the Bosnians and the Serbs. Oh, between the Muslims and the Croats. Oh, now I get the picture. You mean where two opposing parties are impossible to bring together, God brings those people together? Yes. Now, hear it again. Christ has made peace between the Jews and the Gentiles. And He has united us by breaking down the wall of hatred that separated us. Christ gave His own body to destroy the law of Moses with all of its rules and its commands. He even brought Jews and Gentiles together as though we were only one person when He united us in His peace. On the cross, Christ did away with our hatred for each other. He also made peace between us and God by uniting Jews and Gentiles in one body. Christ came and preached peace to you Gentiles who were far from God and peace to us Jews who were near to God. And because of Christ, all of us can come to the Father by the same Holy Spirit. Think of it, friends. I know you're hot this morning and you're waving some flies off, but hear this news. This is phenomenal. This is far better than having $1 billion in the bank. If I have complete peace with God, my Creator, that means that all of my inner guilt, my inner torment, my anxiety, my fear, my despair, and that felt distance is G-O-N-E, gone. You hear it? If I have peace with God, all of those things that I spend my life trying to rip out of my inside, they're gone. Hallelujah. And if we have peace with one another, with each other, with other people, that means that all relational tension, all suspicion, all competition, all agitation, all frustration, all hostility, all sense of violation is also G-O-N-E, gone. Gone. You want to live there this morning? Do you want to live in that place where all the inner hassle is gone and all the outer hassle is gone, where you have peace with God and peace with man? The building where that lifestyle is a regular habitat, that building is named security. And it's located at the corner of God and man. And it's built upon Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. So how do I move into that apartment, you ask? How do I actually get there? How do I live there? Well, in Luke 6, Jesus gives us the building strategy. Look at verses 47 to 49. I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the floods came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. I have no idea this morning if there will ever be any more earthquakes in Cairo, but I can guarantee you this morning that there will be storms in your life. I can guarantee that. If you want to build for the future, if you want to build your life on solid rock, if you want to be secure in that building, if you want to be able to laugh at the storms that come, knowing that they cannot and they will not shake you, then you must have your life built upon Jesus Christ. And here's the key. The one built on the solid rock is the one who hears the word of God and puts it into practice. That's what Jesus is saying. The very verse before this passage, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" Don't play the game. If you're going to call yourself my child, if you're going to say you build your life on my principles and on my truth, then put it into practice. Hear my word and do it. Hear my word and do it. Take that nail and hammer it in. Take that nail and hammer it in. Don't just collect nails. Don't just collect theological principles. Don't just collect all kinds of Bible study and knowledge. That stuff will warp you out of shape. Take it, hear it, and do it. Hear it, apply it. Listen to it, build it into your life. When you take the Word of God and act on it and believe it and put it into practice, when you take that nail, bang it in the wall, take that nail, bang it in the wall, that's when you build the superstructure on Jesus Christ that lasts forever. That's when you build the life that no matter when the storms come, will stand. That's when you have the security that your heart longs for. Dear friends, hear me. One of the greatest plagues among those of us who profess to be Christians is we go through our religious motions. We come to church and we go to Friday school and we do this and we do that, but we forget that the important, the essential ingredient is hearing the Word of God and putting it into practice. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. How often do you hear the Word of God? How often do you pick up those nails, those building supplies? How often? Do you just get it on Friday morning when you come to church or Friday school? Dear friends, God wants to feed you every single day. Every day He wants to give you building materials. Get into His Word, listen for His voice, hear the Word of God, and thus receive your supplement of faith. And when you get that, say, Lord, after every time you read the Bible, after every time you look into the Word of God, after every time you hear His voice speaking to your heart, ask this question, Lord, what should I do as a result? If there's no do factor to it, you lose it. You've heard it, use it or lose it. It's the same with the Word of God. Use it or lose it. Take that nail, bang it in. Take that nail, bang it in. Hear it, do it. Listen, obey. That's the principle for building upon the solid rock. As we do that, our lives grow solid and secure. I realize that there is far too much uncertainty in life to make promises. But today I'm going to promise you two things. I can guarantee you that sooner or later, storms are going to come to this world and to your life. I can guarantee you that. I've never met a person yet who has breezed all their way through life without a storm. Some more severe than others. But I can guarantee you, that sooner or later, storms are going to come. I can also guarantee you that those who are building their lives on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, will not only survive the storm, but will be completely secure, enjoying both peace with God and with all other people who are also on that rock. I can guarantee you that based on God's truth, based on my experience, based on the experience of many other people who have put it into practice. And so this morning in closing, I simply ask you, what is your life built upon? What are you building your life on today? I don't want you to get to the end of your life someday or even a couple years from now and get up there and scan from your horizon of success and say, you know what? I think my ladder's been against the wrong wall. I want you to be able to find out wherever you go and whenever you get there, as you look back and say, you know, my life was built upon the rock and absolutely nothing has shaken me. That's my prayer for you. That's my desire for you, and it is definitely God's plan for you. If you have not built your life on Jesus Christ, and if you are not in the process of doing that, dear friends, why wait another day? Why wait another day? If you heard His voice today, take that nail and what? And bang it in. If you heard God speak to your heart today about anything, take that nail and bang it in. Get it done. Act on it. Do it. Take that step. And as you do, God will bring the security into your heart that He created you for. Lord, we thank You this morning that You are not just some mythological creature or idea or theory. Thank You that You are the true and living God, alive, that You came in flesh to this planet, revealed Yourself to us, and that You enabled by Your death for us to once again have peace with God and peace with each other, that You enabled us to once again find the security that our hearts long for. Lord Jesus, we ask for everyone here this morning and for everyone who listens to this message, we ask, Lord Jesus, that You would cause us today to act on what You've said to us and to build our lives on solid rock, Jesus Christ alone. In His name we pray. Amen.